Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes and is justified, and it is with the mouth that one confesses and is saved. Faith in the heart and faith on the lips, they always go together. But without the help of the Helper, without the help of the Holy Spirit, neither would be possible. And so Jesus promises to us, his disciples today, to send the Helper to help us with faith and with its confession. It's easy for us to think that Jesus' apostles, those who saw him, the 11 who were there on Maundy Thursday when Jesus spoke these words, it's easy for us to think that they had an easier time of believing in Jesus than we do because they saw him, because they walked with him. But that's just not true. And over again, the scriptures drive home to us that truth, that seeing Jesus, even seeing the miracles of God, are not what create or sustain faith. Yes, the disciples saw Jesus. So did the Jews who crucified him. So did the Roman governor who signed the order. They all saw Jesus. It's not what helped. And yes, the 11 apostles heard Jesus in person, and hearing him, hearing his words, that did create faith, and it did hold on to them in the faith. But so many people heard Jesus in person, heard his voice, and hated him. Hated him for the message of his word. Because Jesus' teaching was foolishness to the world. Jesus taught that all of the works of the world together were sin before God. And all of the things that attract human reason and that make it seem reasonable to trust in God, it's all worthless. It's all from the devil. Only faith in the Son of God saves. The world hated that message and hated Jesus for it. No matter how much they saw of him, no matter how much they heard his voice in person, you would think that the disciples, though, the disciples were different. The disciples would have had a faith that could have never failed, but yet it failed. And we see over and over again the faith of the disciples of Jesus failing before the resurrection, even after the resurrection. Faith is not like a light switch that you just turn on and forget about because now the light's burning. Faith is like dangling from over the edge of a cliff and holding on for dear life. And the disciples had no chance of remaining in faith, of holding on to the faith, nor of preaching the truth rightly about Jesus, or even understanding the truth rightly about Jesus, without help. And not just help as in someone throwing out a rope to you, but help as in the helper coming and putting your hand on that rope and holding it there. That's the help that the Holy Spirit was sent to give to Jesus' apostles, to teach them the truth about Jesus, to help them not only understand it, but preach it and to remain in the faith. Because believing now doesn't help you on the last day or the day of your death. It's about remaining in this faith, holding on to that rope or holding on for dear life until the end and never letting go. Or if you let go, being brought back to hold on. And so Jesus promised his disciples this divine help. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Helper did come on the day of Pentecost, which we'll celebrate here again next Sunday, 50 days after Easter. The Helper did come, and see how Jesus summarizes his work so simply here. He will bear witness to you about me. He bears witness about the truth because he's the Spirit of truth. He first bore witness to the apostles. He bore witness to them so that they could preach his inspired word and write down his inspired word. And now he helps us and bears witness to us about the truth through the inspired word of the apostles. And that truth centers in the person of Jesus. As we said in Bible class today, you could preach a lot of things that are right and true. You could preach about marriage from the Scriptures. You could preach about all sorts of things, including the Ten Commandments from the Scriptures. But if you detach it from the truth of Christ, it's worthless. A sermon on marriage without being attached to the truth that is Christ as Savior, Christ as the forgiver of our sins, would be worthless. I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus said. Sin destroys. Lovelessness kills. Our sins incur the wrath of God, the anger and punishment of God. But the Spirit of truth reveals Jesus to us, sent by God the Father, sent to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the world. The Spirit reveals to us all wrath and punishment everywhere else but here in Jesus. Here, the Spirit reveals to us a loving Father, a gracious Father, a forgiving Father. Here, in the person of Jesus, crucified and risen, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the saving place, the forgiving place. Here, he calls out in the gospel, come here and stay here where there is shelter and love and adoption as God's children. And so the Holy Spirit calls us to faith and keeps us in the faith with this constant message of Christ. This message that centers in faith in Christ. But what is faith in Christ? To know your sin and to want God's forgiveness for your sin for the sake of Christ. That's faith. And the Holy Spirit does more than just help you along to get to that point of trusting in Jesus. The Holy Spirit bears witness about Jesus. God the Father who sent his Son, God the Father from whom his Spirit proceeds, this is how he created the world, by his Word, through his Spirit. The power that created the world and hung the stars, that's the power of the Spirit in the gospel. That's the power that preserves sinners in faith. That's the power that goes out to you and helps you so that those who would never believe in Christ believe. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that through faith in the Son of God, we too are children of the Heavenly Father. Where there is faith, there is always the confession of faith. Faith in the heart always results in faith on the lips, so that we who believe bear witness too publicly about the faith that God has given us, the faith that the church preaches. You also will bear witness, Jesus told his apostles, because you have been with me from the beginning. And here, if you remember how this verse goes in the NIV, it comes off a bit differently. The NIV, it has it saying, you must also bear witness. There's no must in the text. You will bear witness, Jesus says to his disciples. It's not that you must do it, it's that you will do it, because this is what faith does. You've been with me. The Apostle Paul said, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Faith and the confession of faith always go together. That's why we do it publicly here in our divine service. If you get tired of saying the Nicene Creed every week, week in and week out, you need to remember why we say it. We say it because we believe it. And where there's believing, there's the confession of what we believe. It's a simple summary. We could have chosen another summary of our faith to speak. But that's the one the church has been using for a very long time, 1600 years or so. And so we confess it to one another and to anyone who would come here, so that they may know what we believe, what is at the heart of our faith, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But confessing faith in Jesus, bearing witness about Jesus in the world, would be the hardest thing that Jesus' disciples ever did. Where there's faith, there's confession of faith. Where there's unbelief or doubt, there's silence. Or worse, there might be lots of talking or singing without saying anything about the truth. Why would you be silent? Because you don't believe, but also because it's very hard to speak. Jesus' disciples were going out into a world that Jesus had already told them would kill them. Not just laugh at them, not just go, ha ha, how can you believe in Jesus? The world would put them in prison, make them stand trial, would beat them, stone them, whip them, and then put them to death. That's what the confession of faith garners from the world. The hardest thing the apostles would ever have to do. So Jesus warned them ahead of time. He tells us in our text, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. You know very well that the world can tolerate just about every form of wickedness you can imagine. But the world cannot tolerate the straightforward message of Christ, salvation alone in Him, sin and grace. The world cannot tolerate those who preach it either. And notice here, Jesus' words tell us where much of this persecution will come from. He doesn't say it will come from the nasty drug dealers and the drug users out there in the world. He says it will come from the good people, the godly people. It will come from people who claim to believe in God, from the synagogues themselves, and from those who profess to worship God. Jesus isn't just talking about the first century Jews in the synagogue here either. Yes, in the first century, the Jewish synagogues did all these things to Christians and especially to the apostles. They excommunicated them, they persecuted them, and tried to get them put to death, and sometimes succeeded. But also in the Muslim persecutions of Christians that came later and that still go on today, the words of Jesus' prophecy find fulfillment. And also in Christian churches too, it has to be admitted that this kind of persecution of the truth of the gospel still exists today. It has existed. All of the Inquisition things you hear from centuries ago, it existed in the Roman Catholic Church. Persecution of the truth. Luther himself was put out of the church, excommunicated for preaching justification by faith alone. And sadly, it goes on in Lutheran churches still today. That doesn't mean there aren't good reasons to remove a pastor from office. There are. But sometimes the reason is that people don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes the reason is that people want a preacher who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear, to the point that they won't tolerate the message of Christ. You see this especially with the apostles and with those who today hold that apostolic office of the holy ministry pastors, but it's not restricted to them either, because you too, in your vocations, when you confess your faith, you too could be persecuted. You too could be fired from your job. You too, in the schools, in the workplace, even in your home, you could see this kind of opposition as you confess your faith. Christians have been excommunicated from churches not only for right reasons, for unrepented sin, but also for wrong reasons, for holding to the truth of the gospel. So Jesus' words here are for all of us, and his warning is for all of us. If that's true, who would ever bother confessing their faith? Under these circumstances, who would bother? Wouldn't it just be easier to believe quietly? To have faith in our hearts, but not so much on our lips? Of course that would be easier. But it wouldn't be faith. Faith alone saves, as Scripture teaches and as Luther teaches too. But as he also says, faith is never alone. Where there is faith, there are also works of love. In the same way, where there is faith, there is also confession of faith. There's no such thing as a faith in Jesus that doesn't confess Jesus with the lips. And to be honest, the situation seems hopeless for us, as it seemed hopeless for the apostles, because for as much as we may want to confess Jesus and the truth with our lips according to our new man, our reborn self in the image of Christ, the flesh is very strong, or the flesh is very weak, depending on how you want to look at it. The flesh hates the thought of dying. The flesh hates the thought of persecution and the cross and the consequences of confession. Just as the apostles themselves were helpless to stand against the world and confess their faith in Christ and the word of Christ, so we too would be helpless. But that's why Jesus promises his Holy Spirit, the Helper, to help them and to help us. The Holy Spirit of God helps with the confession of faith. Only God's Spirit can make us bold to proclaim the truth. Only God's Spirit can make us men and women of conviction, so that we speak what we are convicted of as true, so that we speak no matter what the consequences are of speaking. That's a promise God gives to us. He can do it, and he will do it. And the promise isn't just for Jesus' apostles. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit that you saw on Pentecost, we don't see visible signs. We don't see tongues of fire over our heads anymore, or listen to the miraculous speaking in tongues anymore. And yet the promise is the same of the Helper. What did Peter say to the crowds on the day of Pentecost? Repent, every one of you, and believe and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So you have God's promise of the Helper to help you too with faith and with its confession. Believe his promise. But don't sit around twiddling your thumbs and waiting for strength from on high to fall down upon you Don't sit around waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak to you or to convict you or to empower you or embolden you. That's another false teaching that runs around in the world, as if God's Holy Spirit did all these things for us without means, without the Word. Instead, He does it through the Word, with the Word. God gives His Spirit in the written Word of the Gospel, which you have in your homes to read with your families too. He gives His Spirit in the preached Word of the Gospel here in this church to strengthen you here too in your faith and in your confession. God gives His Spirit in the Word that's connected to bread and wine in the body and blood of Jesus. This is where God fulfills His promise. And through these means, God will sustain you and God will strengthen you to speak His Word, to confess His faith. Here is His help. Here is His strength. Here is His teaching of the truth. Receive the Holy Spirit again and be renewed in your faith and in your confession. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.